Hold on. Before you start waving around that freedom of speech thing, and you're in a crowded movie theater and you scream fire, you better be able to smell smoke. You come on this radio show and you start saying inconsiderate things like that, you better have more behind you, pal, than just your thumb. I've been listening to talk radio for years, and one thing I just can't stand is when the host has to, like, push his way on the people, beat the callers into his way of thinking, extending his ego, or when the callers call in and say something so outrageous and the host lets it go unchallenged. The sign you're on the road to truth is the lack of contradiction. You want to find truth, you just don't simply believe somebody because of their authority or their degree, or you listen to what they say, you test it against reality, and you hold their feet to the fire. We're back. We're live. Feet to the fire. I'm your host, James Afayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. Yeah, we got a cool show tonight. I got a hold of a guy who is an expert in the Mayan calendar. And, of course, when we're talking about these days getting closer to 2012, that Mayan calendar is looking mighty interesting. And he's got a whole theory on the Mayan calendar that has... it uses a geometrical type approach to decode the calendar. I think he'll be able to explain it better. It's a fractals that he actually gives the times and dates and how to take on a calendar. And he's going to be here talking in detail about that, also taking questions later. And that's going to be fascinating, because if you go to his website, and I have the link, everything's linked from the site, feettofire.com. You can go into the this week's show section, and it's linked to his website, which is www.mayanmagics.com. For those listening not by a computer, it's Mayan and then MAJIX.com. And it's just a plethora of information about this subject. And it's funny how it relates into many other subjects we've been talking about. Not about the calendar, but the principles taught there relate into many other things we've been talking about. So we're going to get to Ian in just a minute. And in the third hour, he'll be here for 2 hours. And in the third hour, we're going to have Richard Dolan, who's going to be at this X conference that's coming up. We're going to be featuring X conference people up for the next couple of weeks. And then I want to tell you that on the 18th, we're going to have a all-live X-Conference wrap-up. We're going to be calling into the suite after the conference, and we're going to be talking to the various people who were speaking at it, and probably 30 minutes or 20 minutes or so for each person, so that's going to be pretty exciting. So that's the 18th. And then on the 11th, we have a couple of people talking. I think Richard Hoagland is going to be at the S-Conference. He'll be here for the last hour. And we're going to have Dennis Bathhauser. He's the Truth Seeker at Rockwell. I'm telling you, you go to that site, Truth Seeker at Roswell. There is so much cool stuff there. And I found out that he is into the Giza Pyramid, so we're going to be touching on that. So that's coming up in the next few weeks. How to get in touch with the show? We're not going to open the phone lines just yet. We're going to give Ian a chance to lay out his case. It's very elaborate and beautiful. And then we'll get people in and ask questions along the way. You can chat at any time. That's the easiest way. If you're by a computer, feettofire.com. And if you go to ways to contact the show, it's got everything you need in there. And we'll give the phone numbers when it comes up. So there. Let me see if I got this correctly here. Ian, are you there?
I am. Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello, and you can hear everything fine?
I can hear you fine. How am I coming through on this?
That's good. A little crackly, but we'll work on it a little bit on this end.
Oh, here, let's try it like this. How's that?
Oh, that's better.
Okay.
Very good, very good. So the Mayan calendar. I mean, I was spending some time this afternoon going through your website. There is, you know, a trillion things there. It's excellent what you put together. But,
well, thank you very much.
Probably what would be a good place to start would be exactly your method of decoding, if I can use that word, the Mayan calendar, is unique or new or special or different than some other people. Could you perhaps explain the Mayan calendar from how you see it and your methods of decoding?
Okay. Well, first I want to welcome everybody who is listening to the program. And I want to make an announcement to all of you, and that is, do not believe anything that I'm going to tell you. All of the scientific data is there for your own investigation of this information. And to just believe it because you heard it on the radio is not going to be satisfactory for the kinds of understandings that are going to be necessary as we move into the future. When we go through this data, we're going to be going through it very, very quickly, and it won't be filled out. But all of the information is at the website, so please avail yourself of that.
And that's a very good point you bring up, and I appreciate your philosophy and not just putting it out there and being offended if someone wants to check it out. You're actually offering an opening and hoping people check it out.
I want people to do this investigation.
That's very good.
Yes. It's very vitally important that each person has this information as their own knowingness, not just a suggestion. We hope that through this expose of what has been discovered, people will be interested enough to go in and check out the information.
I sure was.
That's the purpose. Now,
yes,
we have made vast new discoveries about the Mayan calendar. And the biggest discovery, the most profound discovery, is that the Mayan calendar was never measuring time the way we think of it. We think that calendars are to measure the days, and that's just not true. Not in the case of the Mayan calendar. The Mayan calendar is a system of, for 5,000 years, was the center of the Mayan civilization, and it's actually made up of two different calendars, a 260-day calendar and a 360-day calendar. Note that neither of those time periods match up with any rotation of any physical bodies around our sun. Their calendars were not measuring the progression of our planet around the sun or the moon around the earth or anything else. And this has caused a lot of confusion because the archaeologists who first went in to investigate the Mayan culture didn't really understand their calendar, didn't understand the core of the civilization. And so we've been sort of grasping at straws up until just recently. And a scientist by the name of Dr. Carl Johan Kallman, he's a Swedish biochemical engineer, he started studying the Mayan calendar with scientific criteria. And what he came up with in his book called The Mayan Calendar were tremendous amount of scientific fact that proved the Mayan calendar to be a meter or a measure of the evolution of consciousness. And from consciousness comes events or developments. But this calendar is a repeating pattern of evolutionary steps that consciousness has taken. And all of our science proves it flat out. So it's quite different than anyone had looked at the calendar before.
Well, that's pretty amazing because we always kid around with saying things, time is going by real fast, and the minutes and seconds are still the same. But if anybody looks in their life and compares it to events, as you say, 20 years ago even. It's much faster.
Well, yes, indeed. In fact, without the graphic, this is going to be a little bit difficult to follow. I'm going to try to draw pictures mentally for people. Or you can grab a piece of paper and a pencil.
There you go. That's what I'll be doing.
Yes. Now, the Mayan calendar has a structure. And the structure of this calendar was discovered on a stone in Coba. It was carved some 2,500 years ago. And it had been translated over the last 10 years. And now we know the structure of this calendar. And the calendar actually looks like a stair step, a series of 9 steps from the bottom to a top step. Each one of these steps or levels is called a consciousness cycle, and there are 9 of them. So you could draw just a 9 blocks on top of one another, each one smaller, and that would be the graphic. Another way to think of it would be sort of like a layered cake, with each layer being smaller and smaller, stacked on top. And this first level, the most basic grounded level, is a period of time that the Maya say was 16.4 billion years long, a billion with a B, from the Big Bang forward. Mm-hmm. And there has been a pattern that runs through that whole period. The pattern is made up of 13 equal sections of time. And each one of those 13 sections, by the way, would be 1.26 billion years long. Now, 7 of those sections are called days, or periods of enlightenment, when consciousness is open to new kinds of perception or new kinds of development. And then there are 6 night periods. These night periods are times of application of what has now been understood by consciousness. And the same pattern repeats in every single level. Now here we get into this next level, the one right after, or just is 820 million years long. And that is 20 times shorter than the 16 billion years. The level on top of that is 20 times shorter as well. Comes to 41 million years. The very next level is 2 million years. And in each one of these levels, there's the same amount of change, but it happens in less time. Now, this is why now, in our current lifetimes, it seems that time is moving faster. Time is not moving any faster, but more and more event is happening in less and less time. Probably the best way to explain this is to start in time periods that people studied in school, studied in their history classes. And we go back to 3115 BC, and that is the beginning of what's called the national cycle on this calendar schedule. And it's called the national cycle because the whole concept of nations was developed over this last 5,000 years. And as a matter of fact, at the very, very beginning of this national cycle was the birth date of the first nation, Egypt. And since then, we have developed more and more the idea of national identity, or our national power. And the one right above that, just the next cycle, was called the planetary consciousness cycle, because rather than thinking of a people limited to the human race segmented into nations, the whole concept of humanity being as one body on this planet has been developed. That started in 1755 and has come forward. The most recent cycle we started in January 5th of 1999. And this is called the galactic cycle because the same pattern that developed nations, the same pattern that developed a planetary consciousness, is now on schedule to develop a consciousness of the whole galaxy, not just this planet or nations or cultures, but of the whole galaxy.
In these last couple of cycles you mentioned, the time between each marker has gotten less. Is that the same principle you mentioned earlier, that it's...
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. During the national cycle, that last 5,000 years, each one of those days and nights took 397 years to occur. In other words, nothing much changed during a person's lifetime. In fact, it didn't change for 400 years. If you've studied some archaeology and know how they classify pots and weaving, you'll recognize this because the patterns in pottery all over the world and the patterns in weaving changed once every 400 years. So everybody in your family ate on the same designer plates. They drove the same cart, you know,
yeah.
Everybody wore the same style of sandals for 400 years. Then, during the planetary cycle, every one of these days and nights lasted for 19.7 years. And it took 20 years for concepts or perceptions to change inside of consciousness. A very simple and very real personal example of this is that everyone listening to this program was born to a couple of very nice people, your parents, who raised you up as best they could, and everything was fine until you were about 13, 15 years old, somewhere in there, and then you started noticing something about these two people who were now claiming to be your parents. Your viewpoint and their viewpoint were different. You had different solutions to situations. And in most cases, no matter how politely or not you went about this, you knew that you were more open to different solutions than your parents were or ever could be, that you were more equipped to handle more data than they were. And this was called the generation gap. The generation gap was researched by many, many psychologists, and the consensus was that the difference between one of those viewpoints and the other was a 20-year span of time.
And then, thusly, if you go back far enough in time, you would have whole generations where no viewpoint is different.
That's right.
I see. Okay.
Everybody looked at things basically the same way. Now, different cultures looked at things differently.
Right.
But the people within a society, everybody had pretty much the same viewpoint for 400 years. Then it changed to where it went every 20 years. As of January 5th, 1999, those same amount of changes are happening every 360 days.
Wow.
All of you out there listening, remember back last year. Good luck. As to what you were doing and where you were and who you were. the amount of data, the amount of event that has come down the pike in the last year has profoundly changed everyone, including yourself. And this acceleration is going to continue to accelerate.
When is the next step?
Okay. If we look at in some detail at each one of these days and nights, we see that there is a pattern of intent on the part of creation, I guess. The first day is a seed or the germ of an idea. And the period that follows that is called the first night. And the first night is when that seed gets planted in the ground to germinate. Then the second day is when that seed sprouts and comes up out of the ground and displays polarity. It has two leaves. And then that, if you look at it as a plant, you can see that each one of these steps progresses to where the plant puts out another set of leaves, then it develops its root system, and eventually it goes to flower and then to fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And these stages repeat over and over and over again, each time expressing that intention or development on the part of consciousness into physical event. What was happening during 1999 is that consciousness was becoming aware of a thing called Y2K, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
That whole year of 99, Y2K was getting more and more impending. And it's not so important that nothing happened. I mean, it's good that the computers didn't crash. But what was really important about that whole period of time is that consciousness was shown the fact that possibly our systems aren't as reliable as we had once believed. It was just the beginning of an idea. It was an early warning that things may not be as stable as we had hoped they would be. We come forward through more and more revelations and complications within our systems, like, for instance, the WTO riots that have happened all over the planet, where people are recognizing that corporate interests are stripping the environment and cultures and societies of their welfare, and they're putting up resistance to that. And then we moved up to where we get to things like 9/11 and more display of polarity, of the difference between the haves and the have-nots. And now we've just come through the third day of this cycle. And every one of the third days before, and every cycle, what has come forward during the third day period, no matter how long or short it was the consciousness of your actual situation concerning your continued survival. What's it going to take to go on creating or go on to higher stages of evolution? That's what comes to mind during that period of time. For example, in the last third day, which was from 1834 to 1854, what was occurring in consciousness right then was the abolitionist movement. That is, that it became unconscionable to own another person. And also the women's suffrage movement came out became a worldwide phenomenon during 1834 to 1854. It was a rebellion on the part of consciousness to slavery. And what happened during this last third day, which was from December 14th of 2002 up to December 9th of 2003, what came forward was the undeniable fact that most people in America are slaves to the corporations, especially the banks and the insurance companies. And it's not a really, it's a very uncomfortable thing to confront. But it's also pretty unavoidable. There's a reason that you guys have to go to work. That's because you have to pay and pay and pay.
Well, a lot of that has to do with the fact we've been brainwashed and accepted and willingly go out and buy goodies and stuff on and run up debt. I mean, it does include your house and so forth, which I've been living, which, granted, everyone has to do, but a lot of it has to do with how we've been trained to consume at all costs.
Well, that's another form of slavery, isn't it?
No, yeah, but it's like almost a willingness to put on the chains.
Yeah, I've got gold chains on. How about you? You know? There are payments. If you're going to be active in society, you have to have a car.
Mm-hmm.
Which means not only do you have to pay for the car and the gasoline, but you have to pay for insurance. If you're going to get a car and you don't have all the cash in your pocket, then you're going to have to go to a bank, and then you're going to end up paying four times the amount for that car through an auto loan. Those are things that supposedly you have to pay. And those are those chains that keep us going back to punch that time clock. And this is something which is the truth right in our faces. Now we've moved into the third night.
Well, let's hold there. Let's stop right there. We're going to go take a break and we can start the third night. I'm getting the impression that we're in the last step.
Second to last.
Okay.
We're in the eighth cycle right now.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into the third night and continue on in decoding the Mayan calendar with Ian Lungold here on Feet to the Fire.
I bet you can't do that in, like, Swahili.
I think you can.
You've been listening to the Black Knight and Squire G radio show. Any characterizations, dialogue, or quotations that remotely resemble either reality or humor are purely coincidental.
I forgot about that. I forgot about the clicks.
I don't know. That's why he laughed. Sorry. I could have swore. I don't know.
I mean, it's right.
I have no idea what I said.
You take back those clicks. Can you imagine, like, people swearing in Swahili and they're clicking and they're going, like, take it back, and they're going...
You can keep up with the Randix Between Shows by visiting the website at www.innerspice.com/BKSG.
The City's Music Radio Hour is the destination for the best in indie music. Tired of hearing the same old music over and over? The City's Music Radio Hour gives fresh, independent music to the discerning listener. Without City's Music, you might not be able to hear these unknown jewels. We bring them to you hour by hour on cityofmusic.com and in radio markets nationwide. Stop the ho-hum and whistle for some new tunes. It's the City's Music Radio Hour, live on cityofmusic.com. Stop by and get hooked.
Hi, this is James Athayanchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio. And you've heard us talk about iVisit. There's a couple things I wanted to specify. iVisit has a new version out, version 3.0, and it's set up to share and view web pages, photos, video clips, music files, PowerPoint presentations, and other media types when connected to others on iVisit. Plus, the video is 4 times bigger for a much more personal experience. Improved audio quality with smoother delivery and easier setup. You can have your own public or private room, which enables you to host private or public meetings. You can list your room in the iVisit public directory to meet people from all over the world. To pick up your iVisit Lite or experience the added value of Plus, go to www.iVisit.com. It's for both PC and Macintosh for cross-platform integration. iVisit, the last chapter in telecommunication.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
Você está escutando ao Feet to the Fire.
Du lytter til Feet to the Fire.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
With the Black Knight.
We're back, we're live. I love this CD. This is Planet Drum by Mickey Hart from the Grateful Dead. And he went to travel all these different countries and he did CDs with him. That's excellent. We are live with Ian Zell. I think I'm saying it right. Is that Zell?
Zell.
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 Zell. Lungold. That's a cool name.
Yeah, it's really cool, but I wanted to have nice initials, you know, the ones that meant something. Because I changed my name. I wasn't born with this name. Evidently, my parents didn't know me, you know, when they gave me the name. So I changed it years and years later, and I wanted to have initials that stood for something, and I came up with IXL. I didn't have a middle name for a long time. I finally came up with the middle initial X for IXL. Mm-hmm. And then I went, okay, I'm just going to call it XL. No, XEL.
Yeah.
Years later, I found out that that's a Mayan word.
Oh. Well, I thought it was just by, you know, looking at it. I just thought it was.
Mm-hmm. And it was like 4 years later that I found out it was a Mayan word, and it means to cut straight through.
Well, there you go.
It was funny. Oh, I want to get right back to it. We are in the 8th out of 9 levels of this Mayan calendar. And we start the last level on February 10th, 2011. And then it runs up to the end of the Mayan calendar. And during that cycle, the same amount of change that's happening every 360 days will happen within only 20 days.
Wow. Oh, wow. Hold on to your hat.
Right. This is going to get wild, people. Well, look out the window right now. Who could have imagined that we would be seeing the kind of truth from behind the scenes in our corporations, in our governments, in our own personal lives?
Yeah.
The kinds of issues that are coming forward.
I actually, for the first time in my life, have an optimistic view that, quote, the good guys just might win.
Hmm. Well, let's build on that.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, each one of these levels on the Mayan calendar, each one of them is a consciousness cycle. But the whole thing is developing a flavor or an approach to consciousness. It's working on a level of survival. The very first level, that whole 16 billion years long, which is still running, by the way, all what was developed during that period of time was the consciousness of action-reaction.
Mm-hmm.
All of the physical laws, gravitation, friction, momentum, inertia, centrifugal force, all of those were built as the universe came into being and came into order by these various steps and stages. And this all checks out with astrophysics, too. So
all of the physical laws were laid down, and all of these action reactions between chemicals and materials all blended together to eventually come up with life. At the very, very end, the seventh day of that first cycle, life showed up 1.26 billion years ago. Now, since then, life has been organizing itself. And starting 820 million years ago, we started this cycle called the mammalian cycle, where individual cells clumped together, more or less for survival. They were proto-plants living in the ocean. And these clumps of cells started developing a new kind of consciousness called stimulus response. Stimulus response was the tool that life used to survive and evolve over the last 820 million years. It wasn't just action-reaction, it was stimulus response. Like photosynthesis, for instance, is a stimulus response mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference between action-reaction and stimulus response. There's more consciousness in stimulus response. The very next level, called the familiar stage, started 41 million years ago. And that whole consciousness cycle was developing stimulus individual response. The whole basis of the difference between a herd and a family is the recognition of individuals and the ability for individuals to have their own responses to things rather than everybody reacting the same way, like a school of fish or a flock of birds or a herd of elk. They all run. In a family, there's more cohesion, there's more organization, there's more consciousness involved. The very next stage after that is called the tribal cycle. It started 2 million years ago, and this is when people started developing, well, it wasn't people at that time, they were tailless apes, Australopithecus, and they are deemed to be the first life form to actually have a mind, not just a brain. A mind is something that you make decisions with. That whole 2 million years was developing a consciousness of similarities and differences. Rather than just stimulus response, the beings could see a similarity in the situation, but also recognize the differences to where they didn't just have to run away or just attack. They could have different responses to similar experiences. Very important stage. This is when we started developing our ability to make decisions. The very next cycle started 102,000 years ago. This is called the cultural cycle. And people were still living in caves back then, but there was a new consciousness that was begun. And this consciousness was of reasons for things. These were the shamans sitting in the caves around the fire, the guys who were coming up with the reason for stars, or what was fire, or what was rain. And they had, you know, then eventually they came up with gods behind these physical phenomena, and that became theosophy. And eventually religions and priests and you know the rest.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that binds the people together into a culture is their shared reasons for existing. Christians, for instance, are existing to follow Christ. Muslims worship Allah, and He is their reason. Buddhists, and, well, you get the picture.
Yeah.
It's shared reasons that bind these people. The very next level, we've talked about it a little bit before, that was the one that started in 3115 BC, and it was about nations, but with a kind of consciousness that was building was one of law, of right and wrong. Interestingly enough, if you check your history, you'll find that that beginning of that cycle was within 400 years of the story of Adam and Eve. And the introduction of the concept of right and wrong, good and evil, crime and punishment. And we have gone through stage by stage by stage the development of the concept of law. Starting in 1755, during what we call the planetary cycle, there was a new consciousness being developed, a new stage or level. And that was all about power. Power. Those people who are a little bit familiar with history will recognize 1755 as the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. This is when mankind started inventing machines to do the work of men and animals and develop more and more power to manipulate raw materials, to manipulate the environment, and to manipulate one another. Now, some people may think that there's too much power in the world, that people are not able to be responsible with the power that they've gotten. And they may decry that. But it's very important to take a close look at how this power has benefited every single person in our society. For instance, in 1755, if you had a horse, well, at least you could get around. If you had two horses, three maybe, you probably had a business, helping people plow their fields or helping haul stuff to the market. If you had 20, 30 horses, you were a powerful individual. But everybody listening to this radio program has at least 280 horses under the hood of their car. That's a lot of power. And basically, way deep down inside, you know that the only power is knowledge. What or who you know is your real power. In 1755, most people couldn't read, let alone write, or let alone go into the den, hit the internet, and find out absolutely anything about anything within moments. That is power. And it has been benefiting all of us.
I mean, when I went to college, I was an electronic engineering major, and I was programming on punch cards. It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and now, a regular old PC you buy at the Walmart, it would be like a magic. It'd be like something from an outer space back in the late 70s.
Yeah, Dick Tracy lives.
Yeah.
You know, Dick Tracy watches, you know. I mean, they're for real. And what we've got in the future is even more fantastic.
It makes you kind of wonder. It's like back then when you mentioned Dick Tracy, you had authors who were able to envision the future, and look, here it is. And so now we look at authors who have written later on and the visions they've had, you know, i.e. Star Trek and all that stuff, and beyond that. It's like, maybe it really can happen.
It really is happening. Beam Me Up, Scotty is already going on. Now, right now, all they're doing is they are transmitting light. They are being able to just telekinesis or just send light. But if you really look at it, that's all anything is. That's what we are, that's what an apple is, that's what a car is condensed light. So it won't be very far away before we're going to be able to teleport at least things, if not people. It's coming.
There's one thing, I don't know if this is a good place to ask that. There's one thing that triggers when I hear things like this is most of the things we're talking about are material advances. It seems like when this equation finishes, that we would jump from a material way to talk, like we're talking through a phone now. I mean,
yeah.
You know, to being able to talk without a phone. I mean, instead of leaving our material crutch behind and go into the spiritual.
Oh, we'll be talking about that a little later in the program.
Okay, good, good.
What I want to do is continue here. We left off with 1755 up until current day has been this consolidation of power. The WTO and the NAFTA treaties are all that sort of consolidation as well. Banks and other corporations buying each other up and consolidating further and further is all a manifestation of this consolidation of power. But now we've started a new cycle, a new consciousness cycle that we started January 5th, 1999. And this cycle's consciousness is all about ethics and integrity.
This is the current cycle, right? You said?
This is the current cycle that we're in.
Okay, ethics, okay.
And just turn on your television, open a magazine, peruse a newspaper, and there it is in black and white, blazing right in your face. The issue is ethics against power. That is what we're involved in right now, the contention between ethical, integral business practices or governmental practices and the old entrenched power paradigm. And this is happening not only in the mega corporations, like the government. It's also happening personally. It's happening within your relationships. And this is not a problem with your relationship. It's not a problem with the corporation. It is an evolvement of consciousness. It's not something to back away from. It's something to understand in depth.
So now we're in this.
Why it's important. This is why it's important to validate this pattern so that a person can apply reason to the chaos that seems to be going on all around us. And this chaos, everyone out there has noticed that the chaos is on the upswing. It's more and more and more random events, seemingly random events happening. And that's going to continue to accelerate. So the tension and stress that people are under, wondering what's going to happen and how is this all going to come out and why is it going on and why me, all those questions have very good, solid answers, but you have to find them for yourself. And the more you know about it, the more peace of mind you can have about your situation. And the better solutions you can come up with to rectify those situations. And that's the whole reason for this information.
Well, really, we've got about a minute or so before we've got to cut to a network break. But really, what's kind of comforting here is that this particular calendar, this model that you have here, is not only explaining why things happen, which is always it's nice to know, but it's happening for a good reason for a change. And it's pointing to an area of time very soon, and it's unraveling before our eyes day by day, where the good guys win, and it leads to possibly to believe that there will be an actual good guy state of being in the near future. It's kind of exciting.
It is. And when you look at the whole pattern, when you see that we use the laws of nature to develop the power, and then when you look at the power in relationship to ethics, it's just a beautiful laydown, because you cannot have ethics if you don't have power first.
That's true.
If you're running for your life, ethical considerations are a little down the list.
Okay, we'll put a little finger there in the bookmark, and we'll come right back with Ian Lungold as he's taking us through the Mayan calendar and explaining it. One thing I want to get in the next hour is how you matched up the dates from the calendar so that we can actually look at these particular dates. That sounds like a pretty fascinating thing.
Okay.
All right, so we'll get to that and other things. We're going to open the phone lines up in the next hour later on. Still give Ian a chance to continue laying the case out. We'll be right back. Feet to Fire.
The opinions expressed on Feet to the Fire are those of the host, the callers, the guests, and any of the writers of chat, email, or instant messages, and are not necessarily those of any of the broadcast, netcast affiliates. Subject matters may be too intense at times for more sensitive listeners, dealing with controversial issues with blunt, brutal honesty. With that said, at no time will abusive language, pornographic descriptions, racial, ethnic, religious slurs, or simple bad manners be tolerated. Stay tuned to Feet to the Fire.
We're back. We're live. Speaking of time, speeding up. We're done with the first hour. Back for hour two with our guest Ian Lungold talking about the Mayan calendar and how it applies to things happening today. And boy, it applies quite well.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, I mean, you know, how did they know how to do this?
Well, their own legend says that a fellow by the name of Itzam Na came down and taught the Mayan people how to write and read, how to do mathematics, and taught them about their calendar. Now, we don't have any firm data on who Itzam Na really was or where he came from, but their legend says he came down and bestowed this information. So all the listeners out there can just extrapolate whatever they will from that.
Well, it's funny. Different cultures around the world all have somebody coming down, quote-unquote, and imparting information. So it could be a number of things. Everything from angels to aliens, I guess.
All of that.
So where do we leave off? I don't want to get lost in the stair steps here. It's making a good picture.
Where we left off was that this whole consciousness cycle that we're currently in is aimed at creating an ethically based consciousness. Just as the last consciousness cycle was based on or aimed at building a power-based consciousness. I think it worked pretty good. I mean, most people that I know are either exalting in their own abilities, their own power, to transport themselves or to learn what they need to know, or they're complaining bitterly about power being forced on them, you know, them feeling that some people have too much power. And that's the basic issue, is do you have power or not, or enough or not, in the current situation? But the upcoming or the ensuing ensuing situation is that ethics is moving in to displace raw power. Now, it's not going to take away the power that we've got, but the power that we have will be ethically applied. That means it will be on a level playing field, not one above the other. And that's awfully good news.
It would be very nice.
And we can expect to see during this period of time, a lot of things shifting, a lot of things changing, a lot of power systems or implementations of power changing hands. Basically, during the third night and every one of the previous cycles, what came about was that systems that weren't working anymore were jettisoned. They were thrown away. What happened during the last third night, which was from 1854 to 1873, is that the old systems of suppressing women, making them just chattel property, was thrown away. And the whole idea of slavery worldwide was thrown away. I mean, there's certainly types of slavery going on now, but it is no longer sanctioned by humanity as a workable system.
Yeah, there's lag. People are lagging behind, but it's all looked at by collectively as being bad, a bad thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like, in the future, the idea of having power over somebody would be the same kind of idea as how we would think of as eating somebody. We're not into cannibalism. You know, that's passé to consciousness. That's not part of our survival mechanisms anymore. And the idea of having power over somebody would be that foreign in the future.
You know, I'm excited to hear this stuff because it puts legs to feelings or visions that I may have had that in this future time that's coming, a doctor will be a doctor because he wants to help heal, not because it pays well, and that you will have the president of the country, if you will, could be your neighbor because it's not going to matter about the status symbols and all that stuff. It won't matter anymore.
Right. What will matter is how you feel about yourself, not so much how you look or how you stack up against someone else. And that is a tremendous amount of freedom. And that's where we're headed, by steps and by stages. We know, because this is a repeating cycle, we know what sorts of consciousness are laying out in front of us here in the future. And we know when, well, within a few days or so, of when those consciousnesses will come into effect. This is a very important discovery. And like I said, it's full of detail. Every encyclopedia is the proof of this unfolding. But it does take your own investigation, your own study. And why do that? I mean, we went to school, and by the time we were out of school, we kind of wondered why we went through all that, you know? What was the purpose? A lot of what you learned just didn't apply to anything. I know myself, history was not my favorite subject. Why learn any of that? What has that got to do with my life? Well, now that we've discovered this pattern, oh my God, now there's a reason to study it. So that you can predict more and more with certainty what's in the future. Now, there's something really important for people to get. Everybody, no matter what their position or attitude, everybody wants peace of mind. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Number one on my list.
And there is a formula that came to me as I was studying all this about how you achieve peace of mind. And somebody might want to write this down.
Oh, well, I'm being one of them as I scramble for my pen. There we go.
You know, peace of mind only happens at one in one kind of circumstance. And that is when a person is centered they have peace of mind. And that's the only time. If you're not centered, you're not going to have peace of mind. So where does centeredness come from? Centeredness comes from certainty. When you're certain, then you're centered, and then you can have peace of mind. Okay, so where does certainty come from? Only one place. Your recognition of patterns. When you were first learning how to drive a car, I'd wager that you did not have a lot of peace of mind.
No.
You were not centered, nor were you certain of all of the patterns associated with driving. Number one is, how does the key go in? And then which pedal to go, which pedal to stop? And how? What about that third pedal, the clutch, and the gears? All of those things are a pattern. The more certain or the more familiar you were with those patterns, then the more certain you were in your driving skills and the more peace of mind you had. And that applies to every single thing you've ever done in your entire life. Peace of mind comes from centeredness. Centeredness comes from certainty. And certainty comes from the recognition of pattern. Now we have a pattern for all of the evolution of consciousness over the last 16 billion years. I would suggest that that could supply a whole lot of peace of mind.
Absolutely.
If people become certain of this pattern, that's what takes your own study, not listening to somebody on the radio.
You know, what gives me, in using your formula, which I agree with 100%, which gives me more of that certainty is, I've heard now several people give their theories, more of a spiritual theory. You actually have something a little more tangible, but it's still a spiritual theory, about the future. And even though they're, they don't have the calendar as their model, they've come to the same conclusions. And they have their certainty in their template. And when I lay all these templates together, they jive, which gives me a whole hell of a lot of certainty. Because I have various philosophies from various areas coming together and corroborating each other's stuff from their own work.
And, oh, yes.
And that's just a wonderful thing.
From all over the world. Now, even the Vedic calendar, that is the basis of Hinduism and Buddhism and two-thirds of the world's population, you know.
Yeah.
The Vedic calendar, the most sacred number in the Vedic calendar is 108. If 108 is the number of shifts or movements of the goddess Shiva as she changes from creator to destroyer. And if you look at the Mayan calendar, there are 9 levels with 13 sections, 12 divisions between light and dark, between creator and destruction. You multiply 9 times 12, you come to the number 108.
Hmm. Those numbers, I know they meant something. When they talked about, I studied a lot in the Hebrew, what we call the Old Testament, I guess. You know, I studied it under, and they're always big on numbers. 40 days, 10 days, 7, you know. There's always a significance. It wasn't that they had to walk around for 10 days or 40 years in the desert. It was that 40 was a lesson in and of itself. And that's why these numbers, and when you're talking about these various steps and how many days, the evening and night and all that, all these numbers add up, and then you take your numbers and add them to another area of the world, and their numbers corroborate, and it turns around and says, that's pretty good.
Oh, it's a fantastic web.
Yeah.
Actually, what's coming out in all of the physics texts is there's a marriage happening between quantum physics and shamanism. I call it quantum shamanism. There is a marriage between spirituality and science, which is happening all around us. And that in itself is the imposition of ethics into what used to be the power of knowledge.
Well, actually, if you think about it, and from my perspective, I always liked science and philosophy or spirituality, science and spirituality. And a lot of the earlier scientists had, at least they accepted that idea. And then it got very cleansed of anything spiritual along the way. And now it seems to be cycling back.
With more impetus than ever. You don't know what you got till it's gone. So losing that spirituality and coming back at it from another point of view is even more powerful.
Well, that's excellent. We are talking, people may have just tuned in, we were talking with Ian Lungold, talking about the Mayan calendar. He's giving us a rundown on what the various groupings are of the calendar numerically and what they mean significantly and spiritually, and it's a very good message. And we're very close to the present now in your walk through the calendar, if I've been following correctly.
Yeah, we're right here, like this third night that we're currently in, the one where I said that during this period of time, unworkable systems are jettisoned. They're just thrown away by consciousness. And so once something goes out of consciousness, it goes out of practice. And what we're doing right now is that there has been in the past this concentration on power, on accumulating more and more power to manipulate the environment, raw materials, or people. And what's currently happening is that we are experiencing a change, a shift in consciousness toward ethics with power integrated, with power delivered on a level playing field to everyone rather than hoarded by a few.
And when is this current night over?
Well, it started on December 10th of 2003. And it ends on December 3rd of 2004.
Okay.
The very, very middle of that cycle, the midnight of the third night, is June 6th of 2004.
June 6th, which has been brought up by, I think, everybody who's been on this show in the last several weeks, is when the Venus transit comes.
Actually, that's on June 8th.
June 8th, okay. Right.
Yeah. But it's really important to take a look at this. Well, if you look at the days as the days and nights like an up and down graph, like a sine wave, during the day, consciousness rises and rises and rises to a high noon, and then it starts going in the other direction. And it goes down eventually into the night, and then it goes down and down into the night until it hits the midnight. And then it changes direction again and starts heading back up toward another day. Now, I'm not going to go into all the details. They're at the webpage. That is www.mayanmagix.com. What happens at the high noon and at the midnight are events in the universe or in our lives that change the direction of consciousness. During the high noon of the third day, it was just passed, what was going on is the first inkling in Iraq that we were in there on false pretenses. That was when Tony Blair was coming under all that intense heat from Parliament right during the high noon of the third day, when the truth about this whole horrible situation started erupting. We're headed toward the midnight of the third night, and something very special, some occurrence, is going to change the direction of consciousness at that point, too. I would like to talk a little bit about the Venus passage.
Sure.
That's coming up on the 8th.
We've got about 8 minutes to a break, so I can give you a little gauge there.
Okay. All of you out there listening, you have your own personal ideas, thoughts, feelings, or emotions about Venus. But I'll bet you that most of them include things like beauty, grace, feminine, love, open-heartedness, even-handedness, those types of concepts. The highest principle of human consciousness is what Venus represents. And usually, what we witness of Venus is a small reflection of the sun's energy off of her body and back to Earth. So she looks like a little star, just a small reflection of her energy. But Venus is on an orbital path inside of planet Earth's orbital path. So every 122 years or so, Venus passes between us and the sun. This is called a Venus transit, and it takes 7 hours for this transit to occur. On June 8th, Venus will pass in front of the sun, and the sun, in all of his radiant, blazing glory, is going to be blasting everything that has to do with Venus right at planet Earth. So we're in for a download. We are going to be receiving everything that Venus stands for 7 hours on June 8th. Dr. Carl Coleman is working right now putting together a huge worldwide meditation effort for those 7 hours. And there won't be hardly a person on the planet who won't know that this is happening. There's something very important, another very important point that we should get across here.
Okay.
It's the number one law in the universe. The number one, numero uno law of the universe. What you pay attention to, you become conscious of. Period. When you look at a label of the ingredients on whatever it is you're buying at the store, when you pay attention to that list of ingredients, that's when you become conscious of what's in the package.
It seems reasonable.
And it doesn't matter if you're some multidimensional being. If you're paying attention to 5 different dimensions all at the same time, what are you conscious of? 5 different dimensions. If you're a little kid holding a stick with 3 ants on it, what are you, and you're looking at them, what are you conscious of? Those 3 ants on a stick. It's the absolute number one rule in the universe. So on June 8th, what you are paying attention to is what you're going to become conscious of on that day. This is going to be a very, very personal decision. By June 6th or so, life on planet Earth is not going to be anywhere near what it is today. there are going to be a lot of systems that are going to be jettisoned during this period of time. A lot of changes. The last time we were in the third night was from 1854 to 1873. 1861 was the beginning of the United States Civil War. We're back into that same energy or that same consciousness now. Look at the polls. 47% to 51%. Just about across the board on every issue. Not just the presidential race, but gay marriage. Should Martha Stewart be in prison or not? Who's guilty? Who's innocent? It's right down the middle. People have split wider than they have ever been in our memories. So things are coming to a head. And June 6th is going to be a very contentious period of time. People will have a choice to pay attention to their current physical situation, which may or may not be dire, or something which is not physical at all, but a reception of a new kind of consciousness for the continued evolution of the human race.
There's two ways to have a revolution. You can pick up sticks and stones and start beating your enemy, or you can do like the Gandhian approach or Martin Luther King talked about, was basically don't participate in the system anymore.
You sit down.
And perhaps the people who are going to be focused on a war mentality may pick up arms during that energy, but others who are focused on a spiritual aspect of it will gain enlightenment during that time.
Absolutely true. Right on the button. You see, the systems that are going to get expelled, that will be overcome, are only those systems that are operating without integrity. Unfortunately, that's most systems that we're dealing with.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
That includes your relationship as well, people. Most of you probably know four or five couples over the last 3 or 4 months who are no longer together. They have left either as friends or less than friends. But the issue was the integrity, the ethics involved in their relationship. This is what's going on from top to bottom. If there are points of out ethics or lack of integrity, personal integrity, in your relationship, it's not going to make it. Whether that relationship is at work or there in your own home. And that is what I'm saying is going to be coming to a peak right around June 6th.
Which is a couple of months from now.
Yeah, but it's already been accelerating and everybody knows it.
Yeah, but I'm saying that I don't know, years ago I'm used to hearing these far-off dates, and now we're talking a couple of months, and there's evidence to back this up. It's not simply a revelation. It was a revelation that may have been given thousands of years ago, which has been proving itself time and time again. It's something, it's time to, like, wake up and say, hey, this is a real deal, and what side am I going to be on?
It's exactly that time. That's why we're doing this on the radio, to give people a chance for a new point of view, and I want to also extend a lot of information later in the last half hour here. I want to go into our future, which is extremely bright, people. It's an extremely, more than you can right now imagine, an extremely bright situation we're moving into.
I would imagine that would be for the people who are decide to step up to the ethics and take the high road.
That would be them.
Yeah, and those who don't, it's perhaps not so bright.
Not so bright.
Well, we'll take a little break here. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. We're talking with Ian Lungold about the Mayan calendar and how it lays out our future. And that's what we'll be talking about the next half hour, is the future to come. We'll be right back.
You can't do that in, like, Swahili.
I think I can.
You've been listening to the Black Knight and Squire G radio show. Any characterizations, dialogue, or quotations that remotely resemble either reality or humor are purely coincidental.
I forgot about that. I forgot about the clicks.
I don't know if that's why he laughed. Sorry. Chris, I could have swore. I don't know.
I mean, it's right.
I have no idea what I said.
You take back those clicks. Can you imagine, like, people swearing in Swahili and they're clicking and they're going, like, take it back, and they're going...
You can keep up with the Randix Between Shows by visiting the website at www.interspice.com/BKSG.
The History of Telecommunication, Chapter 1, The Drum.
Yes, iVisit is a complete audio, video, text communication software that works over the web.
Just go to www.iVisit.com and download the free software. Register for your free password, plug in your webcam, and take a quantum leap ahead in communication.
iVisit, the last chapter in telecommunication.
The City's Music Radio Hour is the destination for the best in indie music. Tired of hearing the same old music over and over? The City of Music Radio Hour gives fresh, independent music to the discerning listener. Without City of Music, you might not be able to hear these unknown jewels. We bring them to you hour by hour on cityofmusic.com and in radio markets nationwide. Stop the ho-hum and whistle to some new tunes. It's the City of Music Radio Hour, live on cityofmusic.com. Stop by and get hooked.
This reality is going on without me. On without me, I'm so happy. Clouds all at then. Easy to be free. Easy to be free in the evening.
Hi, I'm Ann McWilliams, and you're listening to Feet to the Fire with the Black Knight.
Thank you, Ann. I love that song. This reality is going on without me. And I would like to choose the side of the spirituality growth. But let me ask you, we had a question come in, and people think that you're saying a rosy future, but you're actually speaking to a minority of the people who will actually get to this future, I would imagine. Because there's 5 billion on the planet. How many of these 5 billion are going to be the old power struggling ways versus the people who see and move toward the light?
Basically, it's not my job, or I don't really have the authority to make a prediction on how many are going to make it and how many aren't.
Mm-hmm.
There are two factors that I have identified that could produce completely different effects. One, I'll state first, which is the sacred geometry of the proportions of everything in our experience. Everything in our experience boils down to a ratio of 2/3 to 1/3. That is the basis of all sacred geometry, including the Mayan calendar. 1/3 to 2/3. If you look at your own hand, the distance between the first knuckle and the main knuckle on your hand is 1/3 to 2/3. The distance of your fingers to your hand is going to be really roughly 1/3 to 2/3 volume of the palm. And your whole body is built on that ratio. All fish, birds, and mammals are built on that ratio. Plants grow in that ratio. The ratio of land mass to water mass on our planet is 1/3 to 2/3. The orbital distances of planets around the sun works out on a ratio of 1/3 to 2/3. Everything in our experience, including things like the past, present, future, male, female, child, father, son, Holy Ghost, everything is set up with a relationship of 1/3 to 2/3. So how many are going to make it? Either 1 or 2/3. What would make the difference? Either not understanding or understanding the process. That is what will make the difference.
Well, that kind of fits what I would think, is that I think more are going to make it than people think. And also more are not going to make it than people think, because people don't know the actual heart, the inside heart of each other, that there are going to be a, it looks like, from our perspective, it would be a smaller number because of the large number we see via the filtered news of the trauma going on. But there could be a silent, vast majority of people waiting to leap into this next quantum advance.
There are. I believe there are. The X generation. X generation. The lost generation. We could call them a blank computer punch card. They're not completely programmed in to this power consciousness, are they? They're sort of wasting. Sort of waiting for something. That something just might be June 8th, 2004. Every time that the Venus transit has happened, on Earth, what has occurred is our ability to communicate to one another has exploded. For instance, the last time that the Venus passage happened was the day that the transatlantic cable was laid and telephonic communication was open between U.S. or North America and all of Europe. A huge explosion. And what is coming up is another huge step in our ability to communicate to one another. And let's take a look at what happened during the previous cycle, during this planetary cycle, with our ability to communicate. During the first day of that planetary cycle, 1757 is when it happened, there was a person who wrote down the idea of a telegraph. There wasn't such a thing, but he wrote it down as an idea and published it. Then in the second day of that planetary cycle, the first use of mirrors to communicate through a code were used by two French students, the first optical telegraph was invented. During the third day, the electric telegraph was invented. During the fourth day, the telephone was invented. During the fifth day, the radio was invented. During the sixth day, the television was invented. And in the seventh day, 1992, the internet went up. We are on a schedule, and anybody can go and check these dates out. So what's the next step? Here we are with being able to instantly communicate all around the planet. You can pick up cell phones at any location, almost. Can you hear me now? and call people and communicate. What is the next step, people? Telepathy. Now, it may be introduced similar to a cell phone as a piece of technology that we use for a while, or it may be that seventh sense, or you know, that application of your intuition to be able to be in communication will just come about by natural selection, by a process of the evolution of consciousness. And Venus, every time she does the transit, stimulates this huge opening in our ability to communicate. So we could be looking at a whole planet, a whole world of people being able to instantly know what someone else knows.
That would be quite startling.
Well, if you wanted to really have an ethically based consciousness, what better measure could you possibly come up with other than to have everyone's thoughts open? You certainly couldn't have any secrets. And if you haven't noticed, secrets are going extinct.
It's been written in many prophecies of the things that are in the darkness will become into light in the latter days.
That's right. And you wouldn't be able to walk around with unethical thoughts or plans, let alone take action on them, in a telepathic society. Now, admittedly, when this bursts upon people's consciousness, some people are going to have a tougher time giving up their secrets than others. And I think that this is going to be the dividing line. Are you willing and ready and able to be an ethical and integral person? Or are you going to go ahead and get off the bus? Because we certainly don't want unethical people going into a time when they are going to be able to manifest more and more their thoughts and desires.
And that's exactly what Dr. Michael Sharp we had on here, that's exactly his point, again, using a different means to get to that conclusion, but that's why I tend to put all these pieces together, and I say it's coming soon, and his timetables are similar. It's time for the old way of deceit, lying, and power to go and open up to the literal Christ consciousness teaching of love, loving one another.
Oh yeah.
And it's like it's so tempting because it's like right there. It's like, oh man, I know it's going to fail or something. You know, I got that kind of like that two sides of me going excited and going, don't get excited because, you know, how many times have it failed before?
Well, you know what? The dinosaurs went extinct. But not the alligator or crocodile. You know, life goes on.
Yeah.
It's this is not the end. It's a development. And it has happened before, people. It has happened on a schedule. again and again and again. None of us would appreciate Tyrannosaurus rexes running around in the city park. We're glad they're gone. The same is true with people who are willing to advantage themselves over their fellow human being. It's time for those people to take a hike. And they're going to be doing it primarily to each other.
We're looking
in their fanaticism, in their well, a lot of people are going to think they're going crazy when they start being able to hear other people's thoughts.
Now we have about 6 minutes before we have to go to break and end this. So, can you take those and spend those wisely? Because I can ask you a thousand questions, but maybe you should just wrap it up with what's coming up and so forth.
Yeah, I want to talk about the fourth day.
Okay.
I want to talk about what's coming. During the third night, unworkable systems are jettisoned so that we can all go forward fresh and new. The fourth day starts on December 4th, 2004, and runs until November 28th of 2005. In every one of the fourth nights previous to this one, the foundations of the new consciousness, the consciousness coming in, that the foundations were laid during the fourth day. It's during the fourth day that the new consciousness dominates the old consciousness. And please go back and check your history. Go to the webpage and get these dates, and then go research as much as you like there at the site. Or go to your own sources in the library or encyclopedias and look up these dates. And confirm this for yourself. But what happened during the last fourth day was that Henry Ford built the first manufacturing plant of automobiles. Also, the first hydroelectric dam was built. The first oil pipeline was built. The telephone was invented. And we were setting the foundations of our current society. The telephone, electricity, all oil and automobiles is the foundation of our civilization. So what we can fully expect during the fourth day coming is new foundations for an ethical consciousness. Number one amongst those would be the availability of free energy applied everywhere so that there is an ethical application of power. And that we can fully expect to come about during the fourth day and be applied worldwide during the fourth night, because remember, the nights are times of application. Amongst some of the technologies that we're coming up on is the ability to teleport. So all shipping will be instant. Things like telepathy, at least, in technological terms, telepathic ability rather than cell phones, and so many more wonders. Disease is going to go extinct. We've already come up with numerous cures for AIDS, which is the most virulent of our pathogens right now. Those things will be then applied and made fully understood and known. That's the kind of future that we're looking at, and it just keeps getting better from there. As more and more happens in less and less amount of time, more becomes possible to occur. That's why we're witnessing so many miracles now, and as this accelerates, there are going to be more and more miracles in every walk of life available to everyone. It won't be that long before, about 2009, on this schedule, that people will be able to literally manifest their very desire without any kind of technological device whatsoever. That's where consciousness is headed, and that quickly.
Now, do you see, we've got a couple minutes left here, do you see cataclysm as being as one of the the catalysts for this. I mean, we have a lot of people predictions and of a Planet X coming in and cometary fragments coming in, and there's going to be a whole lot of stuff like that to bring down the power structures. I mean, is that something that's in the Mayan calendar?
It certainly is, because as more and more becomes possible, we're not talking about just good, beneficial things. Everything is becoming more and more possible. Who could have possibly imagined that our Pentagon, the center of our defense of the world's most powerful nation, could be attacked? Who could have imagined that being possible? Or the World Trade Towers, the center of world commerce, being destroyed in a few hours? Who could imagine that kind of event? More and more is becoming possible, including the possibility of civil war in the United States. All of these things, of shifting mountain ranges, of shifting coastlines, of planet X, it's becoming more possible that it show up. And you're talking about asteroids. We're seeing an awful lot of asteroids all of a sudden. And it's possible that we're headed into a place in space where there's more junk. We're not just going around the sun, you know. We're also going around in a double orbit with the Pleiades, and we're going around the whole galaxy every 250 million years. We're moving, people. And everything else is, too. Things are changing. And as this consciousness accelerates, more and more and more becomes possible, and it becomes more and more important. What you pay attention to, you become conscious of. If you're going to be paying attention to all of the horrible things that might happen to you, guess what? Something horrible is going to happen to you. It gets more and more likely. If you're paying attention to what sort of miracles you're looking forward to tomorrow, what are you going to become conscious of? A way through everything that's falling to pieces around you. That, for number one. If you look back at all the horrible things that have happened in your life, the things that you cursed, those circumstances that really put you down, you look back at them now, and you know what? That was actually some kind of a favor, wasn't it?
It's all teachers.
All teachers. All change hasn't been bad. And as long as you can keep that kind of a viewpoint, you're going to be doing just fine. But as soon as you get all locked up in the fear of what might happen, it makes it more likely it will. To you.
Well, this is true. I've heard this time and again. You have put more meat on it. You've thrown the Mayan calendar at it. And I tell you, I'm looking forward to the future more and more dealing with people. We're right up against the break, though. And so we have to go, and I appreciate you being on the show.
Well, I want to thank everybody that was listening.
You know, as
Bye.
A consumer...
The opinions expressed on Feet to the Fire are those of the host, the callers, the guests, and any of the writers of chat, email, or instant messages, and are not necessarily those of any of the broadcast, netcast affiliates. Subject matters may...